This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Three Man Front.
11 o'clock here on Three Man Front. The Wednesday edition. Landrum Roberts, Pat Smith, John Sabair. Hope you're doing well. Some of the headlines, of course, yesterday, we had the news of the official request to be invited to the Southeastern Conference, Pat, which is different, but a formality and one that we all saw coming. The presidents of the SEC will be meeting, pre-planned meeting tomorrow, but you got to think with all of their busy schedules, you probably go ahead, put this on the docket, on the agenda, and have that formal vote.
We said Monday that this was going to move relatively quick. And, of course, on Monday we had Oklahoma and Texas saying that they were going to leave the Big 12 after 2025. And then all of a sudden they asked the SEC for admittance. And then the SEC released a statement, said, well, now it's up to the presidents. Well, the presidents do have that meeting on Thursday. And then Oklahoma and Texas Regents, they have a meeting at 9 o'clock on Friday morning, which we all believe that they will accept an invitation that will be extended after the president's meet on Thursday.
A lot of conferences are scrambling right now. The Big 12, as we know it, we know that they are. Teams out of that conference scrambling. The Pac-12, there's some movement there. The Mountain West, the American, they seem to be interested. One school or one conference we haven't heard a whole lot from, the ACC. Ira Schofel, warchant.com, covers Florida State, joining us here on Three Man Front on the Michelob Ultra Hotline. Ira, hope you're doing well. First, and this does not necessarily concern Florida State, but from what you see on the ACC end of things, what is the reaction to what the SEC has done? Is there a potential guard going up as to maybe other schools from the ACC that could be targeted by the SEC or other conferences?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I definitely, when you say it doesn't necessarily directly relate to Florida State, I mean, I think, you know, to some degree, it is all related. And, you know, I think a lot of the ACC schools, Florida State, certainly one of them, has been very concerned now the last few years about the revenue gap and not only where it is right now, but where it's going between the ACC and the SEC and the Big Ten with those two conferences kind of surging ahead. So that's been the primary focus is, okay, how do we shrink that gap? What do we do with TV money, whatever we've got to do to figure out a way to bring in more money to close that revenue gap? And then this happens, and it's like, I think a lot of the people in the ACC and the Florida State are like, you got to be kidding. Like, we're already behind in this race, and now you've gone and done this. And so I think there's, you know, obviously a lot of concern. You know, my sense from the Florida State's perspective is, you know, their number one priority is they know they've got to get better as a football program because that'll help the ACC get better. And if, you know, Florida State, Miami, and Virginia Tech and some of these schools that have been good in the past can get good again, then that'll help the ACC and that'll help the, you know, the ACC with their television deals with ESPN. As far as them possibly leaving, I mean, I think the big concern is the ACC has this long-term grant of rights that doesn't expire until 2036. We're talking about 15 more years. And so unless ESPN, who obviously is very intricate in a lot of these discussions, unless they come in and say, we're going to make this happen, it seems like Florida State's best, you know, their top priority right now is just trying to get better as a program and help the ACC get better.
Ira, for the younger listeners to this audience, they might not remember this. I know I was around, and you obviously have been covering Florida State football for a long time, being a newspaper guy, and now, of course, with Rivals. But in regards to Florida State's dalliance with the SEC a long time ago, for those that may not remember this, can you kind of walk us back through history a little bit and what almost happened between Florida State and the Southeastern Conference?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you're talking about 30 years ago now, but in the early 1990s, Florida State was, you know, kind of talking in talks with the SEC and the ACC. And for a while, it looked like Florida State was going to join the SEC. And at that time, you know, everything was so different back then. You know, the SEC wasn't quite the power that is now in terms of football. Back then, basketball is where schools made a lot of their money because of the NCAA tournament and the contracts, on that side of things. So college football wasn't the huge revenue maker from a TV perspective. And then Florida State looked at some other things. The reason they wanted to go, they ended up going to the ACC. I mean, there's a lot of different stories. There are some people that feel like there was some bad blood, you know, or some hurt feelings here and there during the negotiations. But, ultimately, you know, I think Coach Bowden felt like, the ACC would be a good place for them in terms of, it would help elevate academically. Back then, Florida State was in the Metro Conference. Florida State was not a prestigious academic institution. So he thought that would help in one aspect of recruiting. In the 90s, nobody had any second doubts about it because, you know, they ran roughshod over the conference. They won, you know, I can't remember exactly how many straight ACC games, but, you know, like a dozen straight ACC titles. So really until the early 2000s, it felt like that was the right move and it made sense. And then in the mid-2000s, when you started having some more realignment, Florida State, you know, kind of re-upped with the ACC, and then early in the 2012, 2013, they really re-upped with this grant of rights and stayed pat. But at that point, I think there was a lot more interest on the Florida State side to get into the SEC. But then, you know, what we've always heard is that, you know, Florida and some of the other schools would not want Florida State in because it doesn't really bring anything to the SEC anymore. You already have Florida. You have that recruiting territory. You have those television sets. So maybe Florida State wasn't as desired on the SEC standpoint. I think back in the 90s, it was Florida State's choice more so than it was the SEC turning them away. But now I think, you know, in hindsight, a lot of FSU fans are saying, hey, maybe if we could get a do-over, that would have worked out a little bit better.
Give us some mulligan.
Yeah, and that was leading me to my next question. We're talking to Ira Schofel, at Ira Schofel on Twitter, managing editor of WarChant.com. The reaction of the Florida State fans, if, hypothetically, they were to get an invitation to join the SEC.
Oh, man. I mean, I think, you know, the vast majority of fans I talk to would be thrilled. I mean, you know, the concern right now is, you just don't want to be left at, you know, at the altar. And the feeling is, again, we talked about the revenue gap, and it's not even, you know, part of it is the respect, but I think the bigger concern is looking at what these schools are able to do with the extra money, whether it's adding support staff, whether it's adding infrastructure, whether it's adding facilities. Now you look at cost of attendance and NIL deals and all these other things that the finances of college football, you know, you look at the ACC, and unless the ACC is able to expand in a huge way, I'm not talking about Cincinnati or West Virginia or Houston or UCF. I'm talking about if the ACC isn't able to get Notre Dame or you know, Notre Dame and a couple of other marquee schools, you just look at the fan bases, the size of these schools. The ACC has so many smaller schools, it's just going to be hard for them to ever demand the kind of TV dollars that certainly this new SEC is going to have. So, yeah, I mean, FSU fans have been salty about the SEC for a long time, and there's a lot of, you know, they joke about the SEC, and SEC fans will joke about the ACC. But, if they could get in, I don't know any Florida State fan who wouldn't be excited about the opportunity.
Well, you just mentioned West Virginia, because that is an interesting scenario right now. With all these teams in the Big 12 making phone calls, trying to figure out where they're going to land once Oklahoma and Texas departs, which probably will be sooner than later. But West Virginia, a lot of those folks say, you know what, this is just an easy fit for us to be in the ACC. We can come back and play Pittsburgh. The backyard brawl will be something again. Do you think that the ACC, if they had the opportunity to start adding a couple teams, I know what you just said from an eyeball standpoint and things of that nature, but would West Virginia be a team that the ACC could welcome?
I think it would make sense for a lot of the reasons you say, but, you know, I think the concern is, you know, how much money would that bring in, and would it be enough to make it make sense? You know, and you get back to the whole thing that, you know, we've seen during all these discussions is, you know, just expanding to expand doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, when the ACC added some of the schools they did the most recent time, you know, when they added Syracuse, when they added, you know, Pitt and Louisville, there were different reasons for each of those schools. But, you know, Syracuse, the main reason was hey, if we're in the state of New York, that's going to help us get cable subscribers. That's going to help with Notre Dame as a part-time member because they have such a big fan base in New York. So there were some things that made it make sense. But at the end of the day, if you're going to add a school now, they've got to bring so much in terms that's going to help you renegotiate your television deal that it's going to be worth it. And I don't know if they're probably close. I mean, West Virginia makes some sense. They make the conference stronger. I think it does make some sense. I just don't know if it's a slam dunk. And I also certainly don't think it's going to solve, the problems in a big way. I mean, it would be a nice step, but I don't think it could be the only step for the ACC to feel like it's doing something to hold serve.
All right, Ira, as we're a month away from the start of the college football season, we look at Mike Norvell, Florida State, the 2021 edition. We know about some of the acquisitions they made via the transfer portal and through recruiting. Give us a reason to believe that Florida State could enter maybe not the upper tier, the top tier where Clemson is in the ACC, but maybe be in that next tier.
Yeah, I definitely don't see that upper tier right now. But yeah, I mean, you know, they have made a lot of moves, in both ways. They brought in some players, and they've also had some players leave that I think were, you know, guys that were recruited by Jimbo Fisher or recruited by Willie Taggart that weren't necessarily part of the Mike Norvell experience. So, I think the roster is in a better place in terms of cohesion and guys that believe in what they're doing. You won't have as many guys freelancing on defense, which will be good. I think they've got they should have better quarterback play. Mackenzie Milton, who comes in from UCF, appears to be healthy, came on late in spring practice, obviously had a great career at UCF, so he's going to be kind of a wild card. If he can be anything close to what he was at UCF a few years ago before his really horrific leg injury, that would be a big deal. But they also have Jordan Travis, who played well last year when he was called upon. So, I feel like they're going to get better quarterback play. The roster, I think, is in a better place in terms of the mentality and mindset and understanding these systems. But the talent's not where it needs to be. They still don't have, dynamic players, the skill positions, really. They brought in a nice transfer from Kansas, Andrew Parchman, a wide receiver. The running back is Jayshon Corbin, another transfer last season from Texas A&M. But they just don't have the Dalvin Cooks. You don't have the Rashad Greens or Kelvin Benjamins. You don't have dynamic players. But I do think they're going to be better. I think for Florida State fans, you went 3-6 last year in a COVID year. If they can go 500 or 7-5 and make a bowl game, at least you'll feel like they're heading back in the right direction. But it's going to be a couple years before they get the talent back to where they need to be.
In regards to the Coastal Division, obviously North Carolina and Miami are the two schools that's getting a lot of press right now. I wanted to ask you about Virginia Tech because it seems like to me, I thought Justin Fuente, when he came over from Memphis, that was going to be a home run and that Virginia Tech was going to get back to the old Beamer ball days. But instead, it seems like it's gone backwards. What are you hearing about Virginia Tech and how patient do you think they will be with the Hokies?
Yeah, that's a great question. I also thought he would do a really good job there, and it seemed like it was going to be trending in that direction early. They've had a lot of problems with their roster. They've had a lot of kids leave, transfer out. It's been a steady stream of situations like that, and just doesn't seem like it doesn't seem like they've ever really gotten any inertia going between him and these players. I think, I would say he's definitely on the hot seat. He's a very confident guy. He's good. Like at ACC kickoff, none of that stuff seems to bother him. He seems to handle all that well. And he's a guy that sounds confident, sounds like he's got a good plan. And then you see him on the field and it just doesn't translate. So yeah, one of the things that, the ACC and Jim Phillips, the new commissioner, has preached and preached since he took over 5 months ago is, how important it is to succeed at football and how important the whole conference's success is going to be based on football. And I think you're going to see some of these schools, maybe kind of make decisions quicker because, they just can't afford to struggle for years and years and years. I think, I'm not saying it's going to be where they're firing coaches in a year and a half or 2 years, but I just don't see coaches getting 5 or 6 years to figure things out. I think this is a big year for him.
Ira Schoffel, at Ira Schoffel on Twitter, warchant.com. That's where you can find his work. Ira, we always appreciate it. Happy football season. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it, guys. Take care.
Ira Schofield joining us, as all of our guests do, on the Michelob Ultra Hotline, a superior light beer with low calories, low carbs, and zero fat. Live life to the ultra. It is now time for Coach Speak, presented by Pat's Archery and Outdoors. And Pat's Archery and Outdoors keeps you geared up for summer. Check out the new rod and reel combos, fishing gear, Costa Del Mar glasses, performance fishing shirts, and more on Highway 78 in Jasper. Pat's Archery and Outdoors. Coach Nick Saban was asked about OU and Texas coming to the SEC.
I don't really know enough about it. I know the conference commissioner and the people that are above me, you know, administratively and organizationally, college presidents or whatever, you know, need to make decisions like this as to how it benefits our conference and how it affects, you know, college football as a whole. So I don't really know that I have an answer to that.
All right. He is, you know, he's so modest and humble in his responses. I didn't expect some kind of elaborate answer. This is what Coach Nick Saban asked. Are they on our schedule? No, they're not. So that was really what he was thinking. Yeah, I've looked a little bit. I've had some of, you know, our however many analysts they have there at Alabama looking at some film over, you know, what Oklahoma could potentially have. We meet him in the college football playoff, Pat. But Nick Saban, he's not going to get into all of that.
I would imagine that when these conversations, if there was anybody in the conference outside the commissioner that may have an inkling of what was going on, it perhaps was Nick Saban.
Meanwhile, Lincoln Riley, he had his annual kickoff luncheon yesterday. We don't have audio of it, but the moderator got on the stage and he said, obviously you guys want to be talking and asking about the SEC. We're not talking about that today. Let's talk depth chart. And that's how that went. But I do agree with Brian Davis, what he said. Lincoln Riley, when he got that news, we're doing what?
As he's sitting back looking at
Joe C.
Six rings.
Joe Castiglione, athletic director. What in the have we done? We had it rolling, man. Congratulations. It just means more. George Kliakoff. I get it right?
Sounds right.
Pac-12 commissioner. He was talking about college football playoff and what it could mean, and do we need to shake it up a little bit?
Unlike conferences with a single dominant team, we often have multiple top teams and significant depth in the conference and a nine-game conference schedule. While this has led to greater parity, it has historically hurt us in the rankings, and it has certainly cost us CFP invitations. I want to be 100% clear that going forward, the Pac-12 Conference will make all of our football-related decisions with the combined goals of optimizing CFP invitations and winning national championships.
Who wrote this for him?
I don't know, but you could tell he was cotton mouth. He was having problems.
Oh, but who wrote this for him? Did he even, like, instead of having one single dominant team,
whatever.
And that has hurt them in the rankings because they just cannibalize each other. What do you think the SEC does? I mean, has he seen the SEC? Has he seen the Big Ten?
I mean, listen, at least Larry Scott could put a sentence together. I mean, I'm not saying that it made any sense, but
is this one of those guys who's really, really intelligent, just socially awkward?
Possibly, because I've heard two clips from him today, and both clips I'm kind of scratching my head going, man, he must have really knocked the interview process out of the ballpark.
Like, he's the dumbest smart guy, you know.
He does not sound very bright.
No. I mean, I'm sitting here banging my head against
the
microphone.
He's been on the job since, what, July 1st?
Yeah,
officially?
Something like that.
And he's throwing shade at the college football playoff. He's throwing out innuendos about, you know, Sankey's involvement on the committee to expand the college football playoff. I mean, again, when was the last time you guys were relevant in regards to the college football playoff? I mean, that's great what he just said, but you got to win on the field, and you got to have people see your product, and nobody sees their product.
Well, the last time they were relevant, we'll throw out Washington, right, when they played Alabama in the semifinal.
Yeah, that was real relevant.
Well, I mean, they got close.
That was relevant until kickoff.
Well, we had the race, remember, how it was going to shape up with Oregon and Utah? Remember? Were they going to get in? Who was going to get in? And who was it that threw up all over themselves against Arizona State? It was one of those teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, that never actually materialized. Nice try, George.
He's got work to do.
Mm.
And he was obviously hired for a reason. He's coming from Vegas. So
yeah, get more eyeballs on the Pac-12 network. That's what you want to do. He already said that he's been disappointed in the distribution of it. Well, I know how you can help that. Go and raid the Big 12. Get some of those teams to come out there and put a good product on the field. I actually think Oklahoma State, that'd be a great addition to the Pac-12.
You know, Curtis Fitzpatrick, who joined us last hour from WWLS, he brought up a great point because they want to talk about in the Pac-12 all the Olympic sports and all the championships that they've won. How many of those Big 12 schools that they perhaps might look at joining the Pac-12, how many of those sports do they actually sponsor? And especially now after COVID-19, I'm not really sure in regards to how many of these athletic departments are going to be in a financial situation where they can launch new sports or a water polo team.
Look, and that's the thing. I mean, you're a conference of champions, but how many conferences are there with some of these sports that you actually play? None.
I looked it up because I was just curious the other day. I believe that there are 64 schools in America that play water polo because that's obviously a very popular sport in the Pac-12. I think it's like 64 men's programs, and believe it or not, I think there's more women's water polo teams than men. And that's around, and it's in the 60s as well.
Well, so you know the Pac-12, what do they do if you don't have enough schools or to fill out? So not all of your institutions, they have teams that are fielding.
Yeah, you have to affiliate with teams, a different association instead of your conference.
Yeah, so they have affiliations. They had an affiliation, I didn't know this, with University of Arkansas Little Rock. Do you know that?
Because since you're on the beach volleyball circuit, because mm-hmm. UAB, they're a part of because Conference USA.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and so are the schools from the SEC.
Right.
Right. That's a CCSA, Coastal Collegiate Sports Association, which is kind of, it's run by the Ace Sun.
Gotcha.
Brass.
The Atlantic Sun.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, you don't have enough schools, you don't have enough as in beach volleyball, SEC schools that actually field teams. You have South Carolina, LSU is there, but you don't have the others, so you have to match up with schools like Florida State and others around the Southeast. Anyways, thought I'd throw that in there. Also, not to be outdone, David Shaw, Stanford head football coach, throwing a little bit of shade, I think, and trying to teach us about what NIL was intended for.
My gut reaction is in multiple levels. First of all, Nick Saban is smarter than any 10 of us in this room combined. And so there's no way that wasn't just a throw-in. It is obvious to me. Nick wanted to plant that and make sure people knew that. It's a great way to recruit people to come to you, which the guy hasn't started a college football game, and he's already signed a whole bunch of deals to make money. To me, I don't think that's what this whole thing is supposed to be about. I don't believe that is true market value. I think that's Alabama value. But that's not market value for an individual, which was what this is supposed to be about.
I'm really confused. What is an NIL about if it's not about the personal value?
No, what he's saying is if you're the quarterback at Alabama and you're the quarterback, if you were Bryce Young and you were the quarterback at, let's throw it out there, Pitt. You're not getting a six or close to seven-figure endorsement deal if you've never played a game or started a game. You know what? There is some truth to that, but guess what? We knew that before NIL ever was brought to the table as it was being discussed that would happen. The rich would get richer. And Nick Saban, I absolutely agree. That was calculated. Nick Saban dropping that nugget, talking about his quarterback and the deal that he got. Because what does that do? Goes back to my hypothetical Baylor basketball example. 13 Baylor players get $100,000 endorsement deals a year to go and be on that roster. Well, you're probably going to be interested in playing basketball for Baylor if you get that letter in the mail.
And that's not be naive to think that Stanford, when they're not recruiting athletes, that they don't bring up the value of a Stanford education or other aspects. It's just, once again, the fact that Nick Saban, albeit he is 70 years old, is still running circles around some of these young bucks. And someone like a David Shaw. David Shaw was one of these guys about 10 years ago. Everybody in America said, yes, I want to start a football program with David Shaw as my head coach. How many Pac-12 championships, how many Rose Bowls Stanford won. How many times have you been mentioned in the college football playoff?
How about this? How many CEOs are out there that actually have an education from Stanford? Why don't you reach out to them and say, hey, do you care about Stanford football? Hey, we've got a guy who's interested. We can't use this because that's illegal,
how about
breaking
internship?
The rules. But, yeah, an internship, and maybe, you know, you kick him $200K a year. I bet he'll sign with us.
Again, if you have not seen it, I strongly recommend right before the football season, you need to go watch Netflix, the documentary Operation Varsity Blues, and see how involved a lot of those Pac-12 schools were in that college admissions scandal.
That is Coach Speak, brought to you by Pat's Archery and Outdoors, your personal protection specialist with handguns, rifles, shotguns, plus ammo arriving daily. 12-month same as cash financing. Pat's Archery and Outdoors, Highway 78 in Jasper. We'll continue with your phone calls, 800-239-WJOX. All topics related to the college football expansion and what it could mean across the landscape. Also, five questions from Pat Smith. Pat Ponder's next. It's Three-Man Front and Jocks, 94.5.
Three-Man Front, weekdays.
Right here on Jocks.
Jocks, 94.5.
11:30, it's Three-Man Front, Jocks 94.5. Landrum Roberts, Pat Smith, John Saber, Conrad Van Order, producing the show. Hope you're doing well in this hump day. We've had a very busy hump day edition. Curtis Fitzpatrick joining us from Oklahoma City, our sister station, WWLS, the sports animal, getting the reaction not only from the OU fan base, but also it truly is bedlam in that state. Oklahoma State fans upset. Apparently, the rivalry was friendly, and now it has turned bitter and nasty, and you have husband and wives fighting. You have family members that aren't talking to each other, Pat. You have Casey Shrum, the Oklahoma State president, taking shots at Oklahoma. It's truly bedlam, and I love it.
It will be a very interesting football season for the fans of OU and Texas as they maybe possibly make the final road trip in the Big 12.
During summer, your most expensive appliance is constantly being pushed to the extreme, and it's your HVAC system. It's not a question of if it will fail, but when. You got to turn to the brand recognized as the most trusted for seven consecutive years, and it's Trane. A Trane system is going to keep you comfortable, give you peace of mind for summers to come, knowing you've got the industry's best. It is hard to stop a Trane. Can't stop Pat Smith, five questions, written, documented. It's Pat Ponder. Brought to you by Alabama Roofing Professionals. Mike and the gang located across the state of Alabama, 205-722-ROOF. That's 205-722-ROOF or alroofpros.com. It's a company you can trust. Tell you all the time about the free roof inspections. They're going to warranty any repairs or work that they do. And also the blow-in insulation. You talk about the Trane, keeping your home running, keeping you cool during the summertime. Well, keep your home energy efficient to help out that Trane with a blow-in insulation service. Alabama Roofing Professionals, 205-722-ROOF or alroofpros.com.
All right, guys, question number one. We had Iris Schaffel on at the top of the hour talking about Florida State, the ACC. What are they going to do, if anything? So it made me think back to when Florida State almost got into the conference, and then there was another flirtation in the early 2000s. Never came to fruition. But I ask you guys, has the time passed for Florida State to ever be in the Southeastern Conference?
I say no.
So the window's still open.
I think the window's still open. Florida State, look, they won a national championship back in 2013. I think people still view them as one of those. If we're going top 20 football programs and you just had to spit them out right now, regardless of what has happened on the field,
I think you would still say Florida State.
You would still say Florida State is there, yes, and that would add, and I'm not just looking at football. Football would certainly add, but across the board, it would be a good fit, and that would be an add to the SEC. A good add.
So the window of opportunity, in your opinion,
is still open, and I would not rule them out.
How about you, John? You think Florida State, possibly, the door is closed on the SEC?
Ultimately, I'll say no, because it looks like the SEC is trying to cement the fact that they're the dominant conference in football. So if you can get a notable name and a notable brand like that, I would say no, the door is never closed. Now, if I'm Florida State, I don't know how much I want in there. I understand the reason why Bowden didn't want to come in, and he gambled on himself and his team, and they won. I mean, he didn't want to face that stiff competition. He's like, why would I go there when I know I could make a championship here in the ACC. And if when Florida State gets back to maybe not the level we used to see them, but at least somewhat close to that, they have that benefit of the doubt to where they don't have to go undefeated in the ACC to be able to at least sniff the playoff, especially if we're going to be at 12 teams. So if I'm them, if Sankey and the SEC office came asking today, I might say no.
Let me ask you this, Pat. Here's the question. You don't have to name the schools in the SEC, but think about the 14 schools. How many right now, if you're investing the future of football play and having powerful football programs in your conference, how many current schools right now in the SEC would you trade for Florida State?
Now, I would probably maybe...
There's probably at least five for me.
Oh, wow. That many?
Mm-hmm.
For me, probably only two or three.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, when you look at the success that they've had, and it hasn't been, and we keep talking about when Florida State comes back, when they get that program back to that level, maybe it's not top five finishes for 14 or however many years in a row, but I guarantee you that their low has been equal or just above some of the highs of some of the programs that we're talking about in the SEC right now.
I don't disagree with you. I just think it might be a smaller number of schools as opposed to the five you said. But, hey, it's your opinion.
Well,
it's wrong, but it's fine.
It's not wrong. And there's 20 teams in the SEC. You didn't just check Twitter? We've already added four more.
Good. All right, question number two. Is it fair for the rest of the Forgotten Eight or the remaining Big 12 members to call Texas and Oklahoma the Baltimore Colts of college football, sneaking around and leaving for the SEC?
Who cares? But is it fair? Yeah, I guess you could say it was fair. But how else are they going to get it done? I mean, they had to do it this way. So I think it was smart. Is it fair? Sure. Should you care if you're Oklahoma or if you're Texas? No, we're leaving. And guess what? We carried you guys on our backs for how many years? Why don't you say thank you? Why don't you send us thank you letters? Since we're writing letters this week, send us a thank you letter for the revenue that you got. And for us leaving, you're going to see the discrepancy and the big gap of the revenue checks you're going to be getting if you're still in existence down the road.
Is it fair? No, but I guess the other teams knew what they were getting into in that conference. I guess maybe they had held out hope that they were in a conference like the SEC where it truly is all for one and one for all, as opposed to Texas and the rest. But they, unfortunately, whether or not they liked it, they were in on it. They didn't have to, but they chose to. Now, kudos to Nebraska and Utah and Colorado for reading the writing on the wall and trying to escape under the oppressive thumb that was Texas. Texas does kind of look bad in the sense that you heard at the top of the hour, they could have had Cincinnati and UCF in this league and maybe would have been on better footing. But Texas is like, no, we don't want to expand. We're not about realignment. We don't want to do that. Then they come begging and crawling into the SEC. But if I'm the other eight teams, it stinks, but this is the partner you got in bed with, and sometimes they bite.
They sure do.
You're telling me you wouldn't trade Vanderbilt, Kentucky, South Carolina for Florida State?
Well, I'm thinking about all the sports. I'm thinking about all the sports. I'm not just talking about football.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm not trading. Are you kidding me? I'm not giving up Kentucky. No way.
No, I was just going from a football standpoint. But if you want to look at all the sports, Florida State's not too shabby.
And that's why I would only say
softball's pretty good. Baseball's had a great program.
I'm not going to say the programs, but
basketball.
The two or three that I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Would not definitely Kentucky would not be one of them.
Okay. Just going and Mark Stoops done a heck of a job. I'm just saying. You're just taking the football program.
I mean, I'm not even thinking football. I wasn't even thinking football. Again, basketball to me is why Kentucky is in this league, period.
Yeah. And I agree. Florida State's basketball program has been better than
the last
two or three years.
It's been very good.
Yeah.
Leonard Hamilton's done an outstanding job there. All right, next question. Bob Bowlesby gets paid $4 million to be the commissioner of the Big 12. Should he shoulder the blame or any blame for not knowing that Texas and OU was on the verge of leaving?
I mean, maybe he should have been a little bit more proactive in thinking, okay, well, we know how much. You can't tell me he didn't know the value of Oklahoma and Texas being in that conference and how much they were responsible for the revenue share that they got. How do you make that equitable and keep the other member institutions happy? I don't know, but I think he could have been maybe a little bit more proactive instead of reactionary when he finds out that they're leaving, to say, hey, maybe we'll give you an extra 1.5 or however much percent of the revenue share. So I don't know if you can blame it. I think it was inevitable. I don't think there was – you can't make chicken salad out of chicken. And what other programs in that conference are going to carry that kind of weight? The answer is zero.
Should he have known? Probably. But how many parents know every single solitary thing that their kids are doing? I mean, if they truly wanted to keep this quiet like Texas and Oklahoma did, they found a way to make sure that nobody else knew. Now, should he have anticipated that at some point Texas might be looking to bolt and or Oklahoma? Yeah, probably. But should he have known that they were trying to leave right now when in this climate? Probably not. But then again, he gets paid $4 million bucks probably to anticipate every single thing.
Well, I mean, you have great employees at companies. Should the CEO or their boss at their company know that they were going and interviewing for a potentially better opportunity somewhere else? Right?
Here's my criticism of Bowlesby. And I agree that you can't know everything that's going on under your nose. But 10 years ago, you had two schools that left. Okay. Even before that, you had half the league potentially looking at joining the Pac-12. So there was this flirtation that was always there. And when Oklahoma and Texas basically come up with about 85% of your television viewing when your schools are on television, I think that you would do a better job of policing and making sure that those two programs
are happy.
We're extremely happy with whatever's going on.
No, and I agree. And that's why I was saying you should have been more proactive and not reactionary. But should he have known that that was going on? I don't think anybody really knew. That was like the best kept secret in America.
I understand that, but you're getting paid $4 million to be the commissioner of that league, and you are failing that league, period.
Now, to be fair, who's to say that Texas and Oklahoma weren't saying they were happy while obviously trying to find other places? Because if he's going there, hey, man, what do you need? What, if they're saying, no, we're good, we're fine.
Yeah.
I mean, what is he going to do?
That is a good point. That is a good point. But I also believe that he should shoulder a good majority of this.
Well, he's going to.
Yeah.
He's going to.
He's
going to be retiring.
Yeah.
69 years old. He's going to take that money, that retirement, and say, well, did what I could.
$4 million to be a commissioner of the Big 12.
That's awesome.
That's America, folks.
If he stays in
America,
it'll be like $850,000.
Kids, grow up to be a conference commissioner. It's great money.
A do-nothing conference commissioner is a difference.
That's very, very true. All right, final question for today. I will take it on the lighter side, get off the expansion talk for just a second. So which one of these mythical creatures would you want to see in person? I'm going to give you some choices.
Oh, I don't even know probably what half of them are. Go ahead.
Kraken.
I did find out what Kraken was.
Well, hold on. I'm giving you the choices.
Kraken.
Loch Ness Monster.
Mm-hmm.
My personal favorite, Bigfoot. Or a dragon. Which one of those four mythical creatures would you want to see in person?
Dragon. As long as it was Puff and not the ones we saw in Game of Thrones, burning down cities and
charring people.
And charring people and getting angry. I want the magic one.
So you're going all in for the UAB.
No, I think dragons are incredible. I think it's the best mascot in all of sports, and it's the most ferocious mascot. Think about it. Got wings, huge teeth. You can
breathe fire.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Wings and teeth. Very ferocious.
Well, what do you call them? Wings and teeth, right?
I mean, I didn't know that those were the benchmarks for ferocity. Wings and teeth.
Okay, claws? How about a big tail?
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
How about you, John?
Dodger Bulldog.
I don't know, man. It's not a Bigfoot because I mean, I see hairy dudes all the time walking around. I don't mean, what does a Bigfoot have to be all that surprising? And it's not Loch Ness because I know a Kraken is obviously bigger and more devastating. I think I might go Kraken over a dragon. One, because we've seen dragons. Granted, they're not real, but we've seen them in a lot of TV and film stuff. Like, so we've seen them various in.
So Kraken's underestimated, in your opinion?
I think so because. But I think the problem is with that one,
marinara.
How would I, like, see it without being in danger? I feel like I could see a dragon without being in danger. Like, if I'm just standing out in the parking lot and you see a big, ferocious dragon with his wings and teeth and tail, like, go flying by.
And scales.
That would be cool, but I feel like, okay, just because he's flying by doesn't mean I'm in danger. If I'm in the water, that's the only way for me to see a Kraken, but if I'm in the water, I can't run away. So, I still think it might go Kraken, but I feel like I'd be flirting with danger.
For me, it would be Bigfoot. I would FaceTime you, and I know how excited you would get.
That'd be great.
It'd be awesome.
It'd be fantastic. That's today's Pat Ponders.
Alabama Roofing Professionals, 205-722-ROOF, alroofpros.com. Coach in Charlotte, hang on. We'll get to your calls. Phone lines open, 800-239-WJOX.
This is Three Man Front.
1153 Man Front. We appreciate Curtis Fitzpatrick from Oklahoma City getting reaction from the state of Oklahoma in general about Oklahoma's move to the SEC. SEC president's voting tomorrow. Expect an announcement on Friday. That could certainly come. I would expect it. We're going to get that right. That's when we get the news up on Friday. Did they drop this? Doesn't that work in the Pat Smith history of announcements and inner workings of the SEC and how things are distributed?
Yes. I believe Friday will be the day that we will wrap everything up, and then we can concentrate on the field and let the lawyers and everybody else deal with the exit fees and the monies owed to the Big 12. And if there's going to be a Big 12, all that stuff will come into play after Friday. But for the purposes of the conference, in Texas and Oklahoma making it official, I think that will be all wrapped up on Friday.
Ira Schofel of WarChant.com also joining us. By the way, walk down the hall, McElroy and Kublik in the morning, 7 to 10 a.m. right here on Jocks 94.5.
Breaking down film.
Well, there's six people in the office. They're breaking down film right now. Film geeks.
That's right.
It's a beautiful monitor that they have.
It's a big one.
I wonder if they have a telestrator. You think Greg got the telestrator where he can draw and...
If he doesn't, he just needs to tell his partner, Joe Tess. Joe Tess will.
Hook him up. How about Taylor Agricola? You can call Taylor today. He's been serving the Birmingham area as a financial advisor for over 15 years. Taylor would like to take a look at your investments, help your money accomplish what you want it to do for you. Again, call Taylor Agricola with Raymond James today at 205-874-HELP. Raymond James & Associates, member New York Stock Exchange, SIPC. Coach is in Charlotte, wants to talk expansion. Coach, welcome to Three-Man Front.
I appreciate it, guys. I just had a brief question for you and a small story for you. My first, the question is, if we go back 10, whatever, how many years it was, when the BCS was the big thing that we were all talking about, and now they were trying to restructure to create the best team official, you know, you remember the thing, and we were trying to get a good handle on, we wanted the best two teams to play for the national title. Because we had so much parity between East Coast, West Coast. If you remember all this, I don't know, but at some point in time, there was a conference revenue sharing plan. Do we remember this?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, and that was a huge shakeup, not only in the SEC and the Big 12, but across Pac-12 across the country. That changed somewhere in that mixture, and it created, I think the SEC was at the forefront of how we distributed money, not between bowl games, but TV rights as well. I don't know the answer to this, but it's something to look into. And the reason I say this is because on my way through town last night, I met a buddy at Clemson, and we were talking about all this. And I said, how do you think this affects you guys? I mean, what's your long-term goal here? And he said, buddy, this has been coming since the day the BCS started. And I was dumbfounded. And he said, because eventually, when you think you want to fix something that isn't broken, you have to manage it forever. And it hit us, you know, it hit me because I went to school in Tuscaloosa. And I remember when the BCS started, I was like, no one is going to come close to competing in the SEC money in the money market. There's just no way you can do it. And over the years, I think, based on with that answer that I don't know the question to, I think a lot of these schools now are seeing the cash cow And Bob Stoops even was quoted yesterday as saying, to keep OU relevant, they had no choice.
Yep, that's right.
So if you guys could answer that question for me at some point in time, I'd appreciate it. And hope y'all have a good day and roll tide.
Hey, appreciate the call.
Appreciate you, Coach, listening on the Jocks 94.5 app in Charlotte. He mentioned Clemson. You think if the SEC made a phone call, just hypothetically, throughout Florida State, you'd have to listen if you're Clemson.
Well, Ira Shaffel, he said it best at the beginning of the hour where we were talking about the future of the ACC and the disparaging monies that are being collected through the SEC and the ACC. The gap is so wide in the potential of the SEC bringing in $1.3 billion, which would double what they currently bring in from a revenue standpoint once Oklahoma and Texas is officially in the league. If you're an ACC member, you bet your bottom dollar that you would take that phone call. Whether you're Clemson or Duke or North Carolina or Miami, you're taking the phone call.
The New York Yankees, let's just take them. They've been doing this for years. You got a loaded roster already.
We'll take them off your
hands. So what do? You go to Pittsburgh, you say, hey, man, we want that Garrett Cole guy. Sign him up. What just happened with Adam Frazier, all-star second baseman? Padres say, hey, we got a loaded roster, but you know what? We sure could use you.
Come on down.
Come on down. It's exactly what you're seeing. This thing ain't over. It's far from over. Ooh, all that SEC gear. We're going to have to get new gear.
And a new logo. Remember the pinwheel?
They're going to have to add
two flags.
Oh, that just means it's bigger.
That's right. It means more.
The Matt McLaren Show comes your way next. Expansion talk on the way. Jocks 94.5.
This is Three Man Front on Jocks 94.5.